One of my hobbies is collecting the last words that people say, typically at their deathbeds. And I have scores of stories to share with you, but today I'm just going to share one true story with you. The grandfather was dying, and the family gathered around. So instead of words, he uttered a series of numbers: 10, 52, and 37. Then he passed away. The family jotted down the numbers, went out, and bought the lottery tickets. Bingo! Jackpot! They won the lottery. By no means I encourage you to do the same on your way out today. Now, concerning the last words people say, William Shakespeare once wrote, I quote, "Oh, but they say the tongues of dying men enforce attention like deep harmony. Where words are scarce, they are seldom spent in vain, for they breathe truth that breathe their words in pain." How true it is. People breathe truth at their deathbeds, don't they? They also utter things that matter to them the most. They do not waste their last breath on something meaningless or trivial. With their last words, they want the audience to remember what they say. And that's why I decided to preach on the last seven words of Jesus, where he speaks to us the way of God, the way of truth, and the way of life. So starting today, for the next seven Sundays, we are going to listen to what Jesus had said at the cross as he was dying. Today is number one, part one of seven. If you look at today's bulletin, verse 34, Jesus was saying one simple sentence, maybe two: "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." And I'm going to explain to you in three parts, beginning with "forgive them." What's the meaning here to forgive anyone or someone? In our context, when Jesus says "forgive them," he meant not to hold their sin against them. He was giving up his right to revenge. Now consider this, where Jesus was at the time. He was not vacationing somewhere in Mexico. He was not basking in the sun. He was just crucified. He was bleeding profusely from both hands and feet. And he was in an enormous pain. And every muscle and organ in his body was agonizing and convulsing due to the nerve attacks. Yet, he did an incredible and unthinkable thing in human eyes, asking the Heavenly Father to forgive the ones who drove the nails into his body. Now, why did he ask for forgiveness of those who crucified him, who inflicted such an enormous and excruciating pain? I'm sure you know this story. The word "excruciating" coming from the cross. X means out of, cruciating, you figured it out, from the cross. So excruciating pain, only those who understand are the ones who were crucified. That's how painful the pain was. Now Jesus asked for forgiveness of those who crucified him, and who were they after all? They were the Roman soldiers who beat him up, flogged him, mocked him, and spat on him, and even cast lots to steal his garments. In my humble opinion, they are the worst kind, anyone's nightmare, and the cruelest and the meanest bunch of soldiers who were callous to human suffering and casting lots in front of the dying. And by the way, the scripture is very modest in terms of describing what's happening at the crucifixion. Did you know that when they crucify someone, they just strip the person entirely off? They're naked. And that's why they're casting the lots, because Jesus' garment in one piece, and there are more than one soldiers, and they wanted to decide who's going to keep that garment. So they're casting the lots in front of the crucified. Yet Jesus asked God not to hold them accountable for this horrible act they had committed to him. I believe we can learn a thing or two from Jesus about forgiveness here. For instance, his forgiveness was proactive. In fact, I believe Jesus had already forgiven them in his heart before he asked his Father to do the same. Forgive them. Jesus did not even wait until the soldiers said, "Sorry." He was so disciplined in forgiving that he instantly forgave his enemies. I wonder if we can do the same if we were in his shoes, to forgive our enemies instantly. Can we really forgive those who insulted us and harmed us and hurt us and even crucified us? Before you say, "Not me," consider another person, believer, who just did that, not with his own power and might, but in the power of Christ. His name was Stephen. Who was Stephen? One of the seven deacons in the early church. You know, Christ was crucified and resurrected, and 50 days later, he started the church. We call the early church. Early church was led by 12 disciples of Jesus Christ, we call apostles, and they were engaged in all kinds of missions, including soup kitchen in Jerusalem at the time. All the widows came, and they were so doing so well, so busy, that the 12 apostles said, "Gee, you know, we can't do all by ourselves, we need help." So they had chosen seven new people. They called them deacons. So Stephen was one of the seven deacons there. So one day he was witnessing on the streets of Jerusalem to the Jewish crowd about Christ, Jesus the Messiah, and they were mad at him and they stoned him to death. So before Stephen passed away, this is what he said. Looking up into heaven, he said, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And he died. Sounds familiar? Wait a minute. Not long ago, the same crowd heard the same forgiving prayer from Jesus. And this time, they heard it again from the mouth of Stephen, the follower of Jesus. Jesus and Stephen both had one thing in common, that was in the midst of suffering, pain, and dying, they forgave their enemies. It is beyond anyone's imagination. And one thing is for sure, though, they both had room in their hearts for their enemies. They both asked God to forgive the perpetrators. In my humble opinion, that's the sure mark of Jesus' followers, to forgive. Well, let's ponder the meaning of following Jesus a little bit more here. The follower of Jesus imitates his or her master and Lord, Jesus. We are the followers of Jesus. We are the Christians. We follow Jesus' path. We imitate his thinking patterns and his words and his actions. Stephen just did that, and so should we. Wouldn't you agree? To forgive those who trespass against us, whether they repent or not. Now, I want you to go to the verse 34 that begins with "Father." I noticed here, Jesus' petition for the soldiers began with the word "Father." I also noticed in Stephen's last prayer that he too started his prayer with another word, "Lord." I wonder if it means anything to God if we start our prayers with certain words. Yes, it does, doesn't it? That is, calling God in heaven, Father or Lord, sets the tone. It establishes our relationship with God, and it reminds God in heaven of who He is to us, and it reminds of Him who we are to Him. It lays out the ground of our petition upon which you and I build our case before God. Father. The third part, the rest of the verse 34, for they do not know what they're doing. It is obvious here that Jesus forgave the soldiers because of their ignorance, isn't it? They do not know what they're doing. Really? Think with me. In human eyes, and it seems to me that they surely knew what they were doing. They were just doing their job as soldiers, which was to crucify the criminals for an agonizing death, to punish them to a maximum through utter humiliation before the crowd. In Jesus' eyes, however, they didn't know what they're doing to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Jesus pitied them because they were ignorant of spiritual matters, not concerned about their salvation at all. They were so spiritually blind that they failed to see the Savior dying right in front of their eyes. In human eyes, it was Jesus the crucified to be pitied. In God's eyes, however, it was the soldiers, the spiritually blind, to be most pitied. By the way, didn't Jesus say that whatever we do to the little ones who have faith in Him, actually we are doing to Jesus, and whatever we are doing to Jesus, we are doing to God? If you bring that reasoning to what happened to Jesus, that day the soldiers made fun of God. They humiliated God and they crucified the Lord. The worst sin anyone ever can commit. Anyone who knows God will not do such a horrendous crime. And that's why Jesus says they don't know what they're doing. Now, based upon my explanations to you so far, I'm going to draw three simple lessons for us to remember. First, it is God's will for us to forgive each other and one another proactively. Can we forgive those who did so much harm to us, insulted us and mocked us and humiliated us and lied to us and stole our properties and even murdered our loved ones? Worse, even when they refuse to say sorry? The answer is still yes. Don't get me wrong, folks. It's never easy. Humanly speaking, it is impossible and insane. But with God's help, we can do it. We can forgive one another. What is forgiveness, after all? Forgiveness is meaning giving up your right and mine to revenge and leave it up to God. Didn't God says that vengeance is mine, not yours? We say to God by forgiving, justice will be served by you, Lord, not by me. That's first lesson. It is God's will for us to forgive one another proactively. The next lesson is this. The key to forgiveness is the relationship with God. To be exact, the key to forgiveness is knowing God. Without knowing God, no one can truly forgive others. If we know God, however, with a desire to love Him, we can forgive anyone. The reason why we ought to forgive and the reason why we can forgive our enemies is God, the Lord, who commands us to forgive. We want to please Him and honor Him and love Him by keeping His commandments. By the way, to forgive is not an option or suggestion. It's a command. We are expected to forgive and to do the same as Jesus did. Once Jesus says, if you love me, you will do what I command you to do. That is to forgive. We choose to love God, we choose to love Jesus, and we choose to keep His commandments. Therefore, we choose to forgive. The key to forgiveness is loving God. The third thing is this. The basis of forgiveness is compassion. I noticed in today's reading that the same divine mercy and compassion flowing out of Jesus' heart on those soldiers. The same divine mercy will enable you and me to pity those who trespass against us. And only God can give us such compassion to forgive others. And without Christ-like compassion, no one can forgive anyone. We must begin with compassion and with the understanding that those who trespass against us do not know what they are doing, spiritually blind. As for closing, I will say this. Jesus was born to save us from our sins. His name, Jesus, Jesus, means the Lord saves. He lived a life of forgiveness and he died on the cross to grant us forgiveness and life. As he was dying, even his dying wish was to forgive those who crucified him. And we are called to follow Jesus and his steps to forgive one another. So here's an action point. Practice forgiveness daily, folks, because without it, you will not get into heaven. You will not see God in heaven. You don't have to take my word for it. Now listen, this is what Jesus says, speaking of forgiveness. If you do not forgive someone's sin against you, then God will not forgive your sins. Now, let's say you're surely, Pastor Choi, dies tonight and enters, about to enter into heaven, and Jesus says, welcome to heaven. But Jesus says, you cannot enter. I said, Lord, what do you mean? Because you carry the baggage behind you. What baggage? I have no baggage. Yes, you do. What happens is that there is one single person, let's say, suppose, I have not forgiven. Did you know what Jesus says? If you do not forgive someone's sin, your sins will not be forgiven. That means that as long as I hold on to this, you know, unforgiving spirit, my sins in the past, all these over the years, have not been forgiven. And that's why Jesus said, you cannot enter into heaven with your sins untaken care of. Makes sense. Start forgiving today and be proactive. Do not wait until they come to you and say sorry. Do not wait until you stand before God either. Do it today and every day as if this is the last day of your life. Remember Jesus? Remember Stephen? You can do it through Christ who strengthens you. Let's bow and pray. Truth we find in your word, in your dying prayer, was this. Forgive them, Lord, because they don't know what they are doing. Can we say the same prayer? Same genuine, compassionate prayer on behalf of those who trespassed against us, Lord? Oh, yes. We would easily say to you, Lord, you don't know what they have done to me and to my family. That's how we feel. That's how long we've been carrying this over the years. But Jesus says, can you leave it to me? Vengeance is mine, not yours. So Lord, we release the grudge we've been holding against certain individuals in our lives right now, not depending on our feelings, but because we love you. We choose to forgive. Thank you, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.